Because we are to be the salt of this world. So we're not just being favored by God, but be flavored by God that we can season this world. There's nothing worse than trying to eat food that's not seasoned. You go to the hospital and you get a prime example of that, because they don't want to be seasoned stuff and all these other things going on. But I thank God, He said for us to be the salt, to be a light. And I just thank God for this church. I thank God for all their talents of the people and willing to use it. Great testimonies that was given. And I tell you, it takes a lot of strength. We got some super strong people, but it ain't because of them. It's because of God. It's because of God, and they're being obedient to God. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 8 this morning. And we're going to begin here in God's Word for just a little while this morning. And when He says done, we'll be done. We try to set a time to start and let Him say when we're through. But if you will, turn to Acts chapter 8 this morning. And right here in this scripture where we're starting, we see in the previous chapter where Stephen was stoned because of his conviction, because of his standing up for God. He didn't bow. He didn't change his beliefs for anybody else. He stood strong to the Word of God. And from his walk there, as he was chosen to be one of the first deacons there, as he was chosen to take care of the tables and to minister to the widows and the needs of the people there, and was a great man, and he was apt to teach, and he is apt to do what God wanted him to do. So that's why he was called out and set aside to be one of the first deacons. And we see that he gave his life. And we see here in the first part of the chapter that said that Saul was consenting unto the death of Stephen. Now we know Saul was later changed to Paul, but I want us to see and realize and understand all this time Saul thought he was doing what was God's will, because he was one of the religious elite. He thought that he was it because he knew the law, he had studied, and he thought that he was it because he held up the traditions, he held up the customs that was preached on this week. They got upset because Jesus and his disciples didn't do everything exactly the same way that they did, didn't hold fast to the customs and the traditions and the hand washing and the pots and the tables and everything that was there. But let me tell you, Jesus was different. He came to preach and to teach about love that he had for mankind, that they could be saved through the salvation that he was going to bring. He tried to teach us through an example and leave behind a life that we could follow as well. That he went through those temptations that we would face. And let me tell you, we still see those temptations going on today. And we'll get into God's Word and ask Him to help us that we don't give in to those temptations, and that we don't be like Saul and think that we're doing right just because we learn a little lesson here, and because we've changed and take the Word of God, we interpret it the way that we think it should be, not looking through God's eyes, but looking through our eyes and trying to interpret the Word of God, but that we listen to God and we let Him show us through His Holy Spirit what the Word of God is telling us today. And if we'll do that, He will share with us His Word. Now, some of you may see the glare from that thing hit me in the face every once in a while, and I just hit the button and turned it off. But anyway, I use this because I can see it a lot better. Got the Word of God laying here beside of me in book form, but on my Kindle that I use, I can put a black page with white writing and I can see it a lot better. So that's why I use this up here. Hope you don't get upset about that. But it's the same Word of God, King James Version Bible, that I have on here. And it says, Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. They were teaching other people, and they were afraid because of the persecution that was coming, and were scattered abroad. Let me tell you, church, we've been too scattered for too long. It's a time of the church coming back together, being taught the Word of God, and going out and sharing with others about Jesus. It's time that we learn the infallible Word of God, not man's doctrine, not what man's thought is, but get back into the Word of God. It's time to quit tickling ears and waiting for our pocketbooks to get filled with the filthy lucre of the world. What we need to do is just get back to the basics of God's Word and be a greatly blessed and highly favored of God, imperfect. I'll tell you what, none of us perfect, and I know that busts some of our bubbles sometimes, but I've not been perfect, ain't perfect. The only thing perfect about me is the Spirit that lives inside, and He has a wrestle with this old flesh every day, because the flesh is weak and the Spirit's willing, but we won't surrender to it that God can lead us. And we're like Saul, sometimes we got our eyes closed to the actual things that need to be, and we're persecuted, so we run, and we're afraid to face the things before us and stand up for the Word of God, because it's easier to not make waves. It's easier just to hunker down and go somewhere else and not argue about the thing. But let me tell you, we don't have to argue because we got the answer. Amen. We got the answer. And it's the Word of God. And it said, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. He was well respected. The job that he done was a job that people saw, and they knew this was a man that was doing what God had called him and used him to do, and they wept over his death. Now let me tell you, there's many people today that are dying. They've still got life in the body, but they're dead when it comes to witnessing for God. They're dead when it comes to their church service and the service in God, going to church or being in God's house, that we have got dead and we're just corpses walking around. I guess they are such things as zombies, because there's a few of them in religious circles, not saved circles, because once you're saved, you don't want to have the death come back and walk around with you. You're alive. You've died out to sin. We need to walk as that same way that we are alive. But they carried Stephen to his burial and they lamented over him. Let me tell you, when was the last time we shed some tears and cried over those that have got back out in the world that have lost their way? God's not let them get back out there in a lost condition. If they are truly saved, God will bring them back. But when was the last time we prayed for a brother or a sister who had lost their way, who had got scattered? When was the last time that we wept and got a hold of the throne, got a hold of the horns of the altar and prayed that God would shake them and stir their soul and get them back into the house of God? We need some crying. We need some tears to be shed. And let me tell you, Christians, if our head will leak a little bit, it won't swell. If we'll shed a tear for our lost and dying. And as for Saul in verse 3, he said, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. Are you that sold out today? I encourage these five that come up Friday night, be sold out for God. Right now you got your feeling inside of you is welling up where God has touched you and filled you up and cleansed you and you feel great. But let me tell you, just keep on going. Keep on going for God and be convicted. Have enough in your life that you could be convicted of being a Christian. Let me tell you, we can look around and see some of the older Christians, and sometimes you wonder if they got enough to be convicted of being a Christian. I don't want there any doubt to be there. I want there to be a beyond a preponderance of the evidence. That's one of them words off TV. Preponderance. I want it to be overwhelming that I'm a Christian. And I'm a Christian. I want there to be enough evidence they don't wonder. I don't want them to have to dust for fingerprints. I don't want them to have to run DNA to check C. I want them to say, he's guilty. He's right there in the midst of it. He's right in the midst of it. You know, you can't be you're most of the time not guilty of something if you ain't right in the midst of doing it. In the same way of being a Christian, if we ain't in the midst of being a Christian, we can't be guilty of it. It's more than just saying, I believe in Christ. Amen. It's more than just to walk twice a year to church on Easter Sunday morning and Christmas morning. It's more than that. It's being a Christian and having God save us and set us free. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the Word. It encouraged them. They didn't shut up whenever they were putting them in prison. They said, whoo, we just go out and have us a revival. We just go out and preach a little bit more about Jesus. They're going to put us in prison, then we're just going to hunker down and we're going to go somewhere else and preach the Word. Now what happens? We hear people say, well, you know, we need to quit having prayer before our meeting because somebody might sue us. They're part of that ACLU business. Against Christ Lucifer's Union. That's what it stands for. And they're always sticking their nose into something concerning God. I wished a bunch of them would come to church one Sunday morning. We'd hold them till they'd change their mind. They say, that bunch is crazy. We ain't going back up there. They'll do something to us. But I thank God that I'd rather be crazy for God than crazy for Satan. I'd rather be sold out to God and know that I am highly blessed. Amen. Greatly blessed and highly favored. I'm thinking about it. What else is there? Well, we accumulate things and different things, but here, they got encouraged. They were facing prison. What keeps us from breaking the law? We don't want to go to jail. We don't want to go to prison. We don't want to break the rules because we want to obey the rules. God puts that in us that we want to follow. Now, we don't agree with all of them, but they're for our safety and protection. Now, some of them, it's just crazy. But there's still laws that we are to follow because God tells us that we are to obey the laws of our land. Amen. We're to obey the law of God as well. Amen. Even though we are saved through the blood and we are in the day of grace, God says that there's, as we was preached this week, there's absolute rights, there's absolute wrongs. Amen. And God gives us a desire, and it's not a hard thing if we want to live like God wants us to live. It don't become a hard thing. Satan makes it hard on us. But they went out preaching the Word of God, even though they were facing persecution. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voices, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsy, and the other that were lame were healed. Now we had some that had diseases here on Friday night. We had them all week. But Friday night they came to the physician, and he took away their lameness and made them be able to walk in the newness of God. He took away the infirmities in their flesh and the infirmities in their spirit life and cast them away and gave them a new life. Amen. Miracles being performed, we still see them today. We have folks that have had lumps and bumps and things there that's been processed and been poked at with needles and biopsies and things. And when they go back because they say we can't tell, they're gone again and they're not there. Let me tell you, God is good and He is a God of miracles. And He will still do them if we'll believe. But they brought the lame and the palsy and the ones that were there. And they were healed. Philip had done this work through Christ, not through Philip. Not through just having some great power. Not through magic, not through sorcery, not through incantations, but because it was the power of God upon him to provide the miracle and do the miracle that they would see God. Amen. That they would see God. And there was great joy in that city. We should have great joy in our hearts today because we had some come to the altar, that we've had people testify this week, that we've had people stand up and tell their life story that was could be so hard, but they shared it and encouraged others that had been through similar circumstances that they could walk and lift their head up and know that God still loves them. And that's what we're to do as children of God, share with our brothers and sisters and the lost world what God has done for us. Not get to where we're afraid. I ain't seen anywhere in the Word of God where a child of God is to have a yellow streak. I ain't seen it. I ain't seen on there anywhere where we're to be a doormat. I see in there where He says to preach the Word with boldness. He also tells us not to argue with fools when it comes to the Word of God, because there's some people out there, they got some weird understandings of God's Word that don't line up with what the Spirit tells us about the Word of God. And especially about the rapture and tithing and things like that. Boy, they got their own take on that thing. Ain't nothing what the Word of God says about it. So we have to be careful when we're studying and let the Holy Spirit lead us and not say, well, that says that, but I don't believe it. I think it says this. It don't do no good to change it to make it say what you want it to. It's still God's Word, and it needs to say, and let's believe it that way. It says, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Remind me of some folks today. Boy, they got the charisma. They've got the looks. Boy, their hair's just in place. They look like they're something else. They look like they just walked right out of Sears with one of them new suits on. And boy, they just look like they just did. And they look the part. And they'd have us believe it because, boy, they smooth talking. And they're just eloquent with words. And there's just something about them. And boy, they just... they can just drag us in with their speech, and we think, boy, there's something. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I've done this, I've done that, and other than giving God the credit. I'm going to change this, and I'm going to change that. And all the time, I don't know if they've asked God if it's what they need to do, because it's led us in the wrong direction. Amen. Oh, but people jump on the bandwagon, oh, he's got to be great. This man believes in him, that man believes in him. I don't believe in no man. I believe in God. Now, God has given me some people that I can trust because of their walk and their talk and their confession with God. But still, they're liable to fail me. God will never fail me. But this certain man called Simon, he had used sorcery. You know, I think it's funny when I get in my emails and they're sending my horoscope to me and my predictions and my psychic reading and all this. They all know I wasn't going to open them to start with. Quit wasting their time sending them to me. I don't need to know that. I'm not going to trust them, what they see for my future. I know who's got my future. I don't need all that stuff, and they all just quit wasting their time. But he was claiming to be some great one. Buy my book. I've come up with all these things. It's in the book. There was a guy one time, he was talking about being in cults and coming out of that and all this stuff, and I thought he's going to give us some great information, but every sentence ended with, it's in the book. It's in the book. Buy my book and read the book. I'm not going to really give you a whole lot, but I'll give you just enough to make you interested to buy the book. I didn't want to buy the book. I wanted to hear what he had come out of. If I wanted to buy the book, it wouldn't be no use to go hear him talk. But they proclaimed to be some great one, and the many people still today are doing that, claiming that they have all the answers, but I know the one that does. To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is a great power of God. Now see, we get that confused, don't we? God tells us to try the spirits. Let me tell you, all things that we see done out here in this world are not of God. Anything that's contrary to the Word of God, it's not God's Word, and it's not God's will that be carried out. Satan has so much power that God allows him to have, but if you believe in him and trust him, he can perform miracles in your life too. So we need to trust and try those spirits and ask God if this is of him. If it's telling you something contrary to the Word of God, and if it's not claiming that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world and that he bled and died at Calvary and shed his blood for the remission of sin, let me tell you, stay away from it. Stay away from it. God don't use magic. God can perform supernatural things in our lives, but it's not magic. It's not smoke and mirrors. It's not sleight of hand. It's a miracle of God. But here we see that they thought he was some great power of God. And to him they had regard because that he, long time, he had bewitched them with sorceries. Now, sometimes people will talk with enough truth, but it's got just a little tint to it. Got just a little bit of a lie. Oh, it's a little white lie. I don't care what color it is. White, black, red, brown. It don't matter if it's got lie attached to it. It's a lie. Amen. And God said for us not to bear false witness. One of the Ten Commandments there. He told us not to do that. People used to laugh when I told them I sold cars. They didn't know how a preacher could sell a car. I sold more cars in 6 months than the rest of them did that didn't care how they sold it. As I told him, ain't no use to lie about it. If we'll be honest and treat people honest and be honest with God and be honest with everyone, we won't have to worry about lying. We won't have to worry about it. But he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. When they heard the truth, their heart was changed. They said, hey, this guy ain't got it. We ain't never heard of it on this hand before about this Jesus and how he can save. And both men and women came to Philip and were saved and were baptized. They heard the good news. Let me tell you, there's people today that just need to hear the good news. We hear enough garbage on TV. You turn on the news and watch it in the first 15 minutes trying to get to the weather. It's about this one wrecking and killing somebody, this one shooting somebody, this one embezzling so much, this one setting a fire or whatever. That's what they call it's bad news. That's what they already call it. We got the good news. We got the good news, and we need to share it with all manners of people. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs that were done. Now he was a babe in Christ. He was a novice. He was just getting started, and he was continuing with Philip, learning and seeing this. Now this man, if you remember, he had a history that he had the whole city bewitched. He had used sorcery, and they had thought a lot of him, give him high regard. No doubt he probably had a lot of money because he had used his powers on people. He was probably had profited a whole lot from what he had done. And he was seeing Philip being able to go out and lay his hands on people and then recover from their sickness to receive the Holy Spirit, because at that time some of them hadn't received it yet. We see it already in the Acts of the Apostles. That's why it's called that, is the Acts after Jesus had resurrected and it went back to the Father, the Acts of the Apostles carrying on the ministry of God as they were supposed to. And he was seeing these things. And one of those temptations that falls to man, whether the temptation of the flesh or the temptation of the lust of the eye or the temptation of the pride of life that faces us all. We see that now that Simon is going to see this and he's going to get lifted up with pride because he wants to have the same power. Now we don't all start our walk in the same place with God. We're not all on the same place. I'm going to rephrase that. We all started in the same place, but we are not all in the same place of our walk with God. And we shouldn't get jealous if someone's a little farther down the road than we are. They've been walking longer with God. They ought to be. But we need to pray that God would help us to continue on the path, that we get there with them, that we all continue to walk toward the same end of being home in heaven, and on the way that we bring people with us, that we tell them about Jesus, that we share with them, that we spend some time down on our knees, that we spend some time in the house of God praying, trusting, learning, growing in God. But we see now that Simon is continuing on with Philip and seeing these miracles and things that were done. It said, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, and when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. I'm glad today that we don't have to do this today, that when we ask Jesus to come into our life and save us, that He gives us His Spirit, that we have a Comforter that comes in, that we don't have to go to somebody else to get it, because God sends His sweet Holy Spirit down to us to become our Comforter and to walk with us and to talk with us and lead us and teach us the Word of God. Then when Simon saw that through laying on the hands of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. You see, Simon, though he had became a Christian and was following God, went back to his old ways. He said, you know, boy, if I had that power, he said, I want to purchase that. I want to have that. That's why we have advertising today, don't we? They put things on our wheel. We just got to have that. Well, it's turkey season. We got to have a new shotgun. One last year still shoots, but we got to have a new one. We got to have a new turkey call. We got to have some new makeup. I'm going to the women now, men. We got to have that pair of shoes. We see this stuff on TV. We got to have that new car. Boy, that's a nice one. It'll talk to you. That's good. The thing is, you can't carry on a conversation with it because it only knows what it's programmed. And when that messes up, Lord help when you've got to fix it. But we see this stuff and we see the advertising, and Simon's looking, boy, his eyes is bright. He's like, boy, if I just had that. If I just had that. Peter, Philip, here's your little money. I want that. Give me that. That I can do the same thing. Friend, I'm glad that God loves us all the same. We don't have to pay Him any extra for the blessings of God. If we'll just be humble and commit ourselves to Him, we can reap the benefits of God day in, day out. Now, am I always on the mountain? No. Am I always in the valley? No. Sometimes I'm in between. Sometimes it seems like I'm walking sideways on that hill for a long time and not going up, not going down. Just right there, just going on. But every once in a while, I'll make the right turn, follow God, and I'll get on the mountaintop. And then sometimes I'll make the wrong turn and I end up down the valley. Down there in the fertile ground where it washes off the top of the mountain, I grow. I thank God for both the mountaintop and the valley. I thank Him for where I'm walking sideways on the hill because He ain't left me. Amen. He's still pointing out the direction. I just got to realize what direction I'm supposed to be going. But He's offered them money to be able to have this ability. It's nothing we can buy. The other night, they couldn't purchase it when they come to the altar. I couldn't buy it for them. Jesus already had. All they had to do was receive it. Amen. Receive Jesus and let Him come in. No money that we have is worthy to buy what God has. Saying, give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. He might have been a little zealous. He wanted to be able to do the same thing. He may have realized, hey, that I've been saved and they've done this and I've got this and I want to have that same ability that I can go out and do it. Maybe he was looking at it in the proper way as far as wanting everybody to have it. But what messed him up, he thought his money could buy it. He thought his money could buy it. Friend, our money can't buy it. Whether you toss a $100 bill in the offering plate, a $10 bill, a $500 check, it can't buy you into heaven. It can't buy the goodness of God. Jesus already bought and paid for that goodness. But Simon didn't see it the right way. Saying, give me also this power. You want the power to be able to teach a message in Sunday school? You ask God to help you. I can't give you that power. I might can give you the opportunity by asking you, but that's the one thing that God's got to give you, is the power to be able to do it and the ability to be able to do it. You want to sing a song? I can give you the opportunity, but God will have to give you the power to do it. He's the one that has it. I can't give you that power to do it. I can't make you sing. And if you're truly got it on your heart and truly called to do that, I can't stop you from singing. Because God will use you to sing. Or whatever it is, the talent that God's given you. You won't be able to suppress it. You'll have to do it because you won't be satisfied. Because God's wanting to use you. Once you submit to Him, it's a sweet place to be. Saying, give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said to him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. There's many places today that still think that. Well, if I go to church and I pay the preacher and I confess my sins to him, I'll be all right. But you can confess all that you've ever done to me. I can't save you. I can't forgive you. Only God can. Only God can. And as far as the riches of this world, it's all God's anyway. You're not giving him nothing. It's all his. It's all his. You can't buy your way in with something that's not yours. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. The thought of thine heart. David was talking about the other night, having evil thoughts. Having evil thoughts. When I hear of people abusing other people, sometimes I have evil thoughts. I'd like to get them alone for just a few minutes. Then I say, God, you have to deal with them. The other day, I was talking with someone on the telephone. We had went through and refinanced our house, and I was trying to call the people we had it financed with to see if they'd ever received the check, so make sure everything was clear with them, and I got a hateful person on the phone. Hello? How may I help you today? I thought, this is not going to be good. And so I went through the whole process and everything, and she was just always short with her answers, and boy, just quick. And I thought, she must have really got a hold of somebody bad before me. I was hoping that it wasn't me. And whenever I started to hang up, I said, you have a good day, a good rest of the day. And she says, well, thank you. And her whole tone changed from the person that I had just by telling her to have a good day. We never know what someone else is going through. We don't know the thoughts of their mind. We don't know the walk that they're taking, where they've been, where they're going. But God does. And sometimes instead, I could have been just real snappy back with her, and my personality sometimes is that way. But I thought, God, how would you have me handle this? And it worked out better. And someone was told to have a nice day, have a better day. And their mood changed. I saw a thing the other day that says, my personality is because of me. My attitude is because of you. And a lot of times as Christians, we're that very way. My personality should be of God, and my attitude should be of Him as well. Amen. Now, that's something for me to listen to, too. I'm pulling back at me now. My attitude. If it's dependent upon you and how you react with me, then I might not be the best person to be around sometimes. Don't say amen, Mama. But as we humble to God, we try to handle situations different. As we grow. And I thank God that we grow every day in God. I'm nowhere near where I need to be, but thank God I'm still growing. He's still showing me. I'm still learning. Still able to learn, because I've not got to the point where I think I know it all. That's when we really get in trouble. But he told him, he said, for Simon, he said, repent of thy wickedness. Repent. That's something we don't hear much. Repent. I don't need to repent. I'm a child of God. Then you don't do nothing but sleep all day, and that's slothfulness. I think we need to repent. We make mistakes. We have evil thoughts. We don't always do the best deeds. Brad was talking the other night that there that one all week there, he had got cussed probably more than he was talking to well, and ever seemed like everybody was accustomed to him that he talked to that day. It's hard to have a good attitude when that's all you're hearing, because you're trying to do what's right, because you're trying to stand on morals and scruples that are of the Word of God. And not everyone operates that way. It makes it hard in this world sometimes for what we face. For what we face. But he said, repent therefore of thy wickedness and pray, God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Not just your actions, but the thought. The thought of your heart might be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come unto me. He realized very quickly when he was rebuked for his thought that, hey, my heart wasn't right with this. This is what not where I need to be. Pray for God. Pray to God for me. He was a new Christian. He needed the understanding. And God loved him and gave him one that was not afraid to tell him exactly how it was. And it says, and they, when they had testified and preached, the word of the Lord returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. Now when God speaks to us, do we arise and go? Do we arise and go and do those things that God's laid on our heart to do? Whether it's a song, a testimony. As we said the other night, one more verse. Are we willing to pray while that one more verse is being sung for the lost that they could come to an altar? That God would give them the faith just to trust Him. Are we committed to that much? I know it's getting on past 12 o'clock. Stomachs are growling. Clocks are going to start going up in the air. But are we committed to God? Simon thought he was, and he thought he really wanted to have this ability to lay on the hands of the Spirit. But they told him exactly where he is at. Look, you want this for the wrong thing. This is a wicked thought that you're having. Straighten out your mind. Ask God to forgive you. Do we tithe of our time to God through the week? I think we're falling short in our time by giving it to God. He gave us all the time in the world. We can give Him some time back. Guess what? You'll have the time to get done what you need to get done. There'll be enough food waiting for you when you get where you go. But we need to be fed from the table of God. We have made our stomachs our God. We've made our possessions our God. We've made everything else and put it before God. This week talked about putting things in boxes. I'm afraid we got God over here in a little bitty box in our service to Him. And how we worship Him, how we spend our time with Him. Oh, that's the preacher's responsibility. He's the one supposed to learn the Bible and preach it to us. I hadn't read that. It told me to study, but it tells us all to study. I'm not going to ask how many Bibles you've brought today, but that's something we need to bring God's Word with us. Amen. And not just carry it to church and carry it back home, but open it up through the week and read it. Amen. Whether it's a verse a day, a chapter a day, a book a day. But a commitment to God, and God will teach you His Word. He'll teach you His Word. He won't force it on you, but He'll teach you if you're willing. If you're willing. And He arose and went. Will we rise and go do what Jesus has laid on our heart? It's an important thing that we don't get it misplaced. That we don't become overzealous with trying to do things when we're a novice. We need to know God's Word. We need to study God's Word. That we can share God's Word with others. But if you're going to do that, you need to know God's Word. The things of God are not something we can purchase with money. God will give them to us freely if we'll seek after His will for our life and seek after His blessings. He'll give them to us. I can't give you salvation, but Jesus can. And Jesus said He was willing because He went to the cross of Calvary for you. Shed His blood that you could be saved. But it's not something you can buy with money. Material things are fine in their proper place. But spiritual things are greater because they have a greater importance. Amen. Have we surrendered? Have we put a price tag on our service to God? And we say, okay, God, it's Sunday, and I've got you 2.5 hours maybe to be at church and through Sunday school and preaching and everything, the handshake and all, but you know, that's all I got I can give you. Y'all just have to be good enough. Well, if God dealt with us the same way, we'd be in a sad shape. You think about the times that He hears us crying to Him for what we want and how we treat Him. He didn't use sorcery to get us to love Him. He just used love. As we stand to our feet, if we've lost our way in our walk with God, God's right where we walked away from Him. I remember being a young man, thought, boy, I'm going to have this world by the tail and I'm going to go do my own thing. I'm going to do it the way I want to. Ain't nobody going to tell me what I'm going to do because I'm almost 18. And boy, when I turn 18, I'm going to go do what I want to do. God got a hold of me before I got there. Now, I've went my way a lot of times and made my mistakes. But God's been right there whenever I realized, hey, I went the wrong way, God. I didn't ask you, didn't consider, didn't think about it. I just saw it and wanted to do it. He says, I know. He says, but come here, I love you. Wrapped me in His arms, forgave me. Covered that sin with His blood, forgave me again. And I thank Him for it. This morning, all heads bowed, all eyes closed. If you're here this morning and you're lost and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, a friend, we had people that confessed that they went at the other time because others was going. Went to an altar, but they truly didn't get saved. They thought they had and tried to walk the walk, but when it come right down where the rubber meets the road, they realized that, hey, I don't have exactly what I need. And I want to make sure and get exactly what I need. Do you have exactly what you need? Do you have Jesus? Has He forgiven you of all your sins, trespasses, transgressions? Have you confessed Him before man and asked Him to be your Savior? If you have, that's wonderful. But if you've not, today is the day that you can do this. That you can receive Jesus. He loves you and He is so willing to forgive you that He's already forgiven you before you ever make the first step, but you've got to come and ask Him. And ask Him to be your Savior. He's already your Savior. You just got to trust Him that He is. And ask Him to be, and He'll be. He's willing. Maybe you just like to lift your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I know I'm lost." You may be under the convicting power of God. It may feel like your heart's about to beat out of your chest, that it's moving up into your throat, and that you're going to choke to death if you don't do something. That's God's love, just trying to get a hold of your heart. Sinner friend, just please raise your hand. Let me pray with you. Let me know that you're needed a Savior. It won't save you, but I can help pray for you. God would increase your faith that you'd trust Him. It's a very serious matter. Very serious matter. Maybe you're here and you're a Christian. Maybe you've been a novice because you've not studied the Word of God like you ought to. Maybe you've walked your own way and done your own thing. And God's saying, repent of your wickedness, even the thoughts of your mind. Come and repent. God will forgive you. Whatever it might be, bring it and turn it over to God. Would you just come? Would you come? If your heart's in that shape this morning, if you've made your mistakes, sinned, you're a Christian, but you've not done what God's asked you to do, you've not lived a life that God would have you live, bring it to this altar and ask God for help. He'll help you live that life. He'll help you walk that path. Will you come?